and it's KVC Arts Now on KVCR, Arts and Entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. On this edition of the program, Peter Curtis joins us once again on the heels of the 2026 RCC Guitar Festival and competition to share news of several more incredible music opportunities coming quite soon. Much of it in the world of guitar, and one in the world of weekly jazz in Riverside. First, though, staying in the world of incredible guitar, Lee Ritenour talking about his work with Steve Lukather on a song known to many as a Jeff Beck tune, though it originally came from Stevie Wonder. Also, his work on The Wall, helping to bail out David Gilmour, of all people, when he got stuck on one of Pink Floyd's most well-known tunes. Going into the program, talking with Lee about a really cool project which began with an academic look at what we know Ritenour for, guitar. Lee, a bit please about six-string theory. I have to know more about this release because it's more than a collection of tunes and monster guitarists from all over the place. There was truly theory. Could you please talk about what you were doing with six-string theory, the release, and the conception?
Well, I had this idea, and it had been brimming for quite a while, but it almost stems from my love of the guitar from when the time I was a kid, because I grew up in Los Angeles and I grew up in an era in the 60s where, you know, my dad introduced me to jazz and Wes Montgomery and Kenny Burrell, and I took lessons a little bit with Joe Pass and all these guys, and my dad would take me down to the Lighthouse to hear Kenny Burrell and Wes Montgomery, and I met Wes when I was 12 or 14 years old when my dad took me down to the club to hear him for the first time. But at the same time, rock music was coming up and blues music was coming up and the incredible legendary B.B. King was emerging, and then all of a sudden Eric Clapton and Jeff Beck and then of course the Beatles, and with all the production going on and just every direction, and then Chet Atkins was coming out with his country stuff, and just everywhere you turn, and then there was great folk music being created, and eventually the Joni Mitchells of the world were coming out, and so everywhere you turned there was great guitar, and I loved the guitar. And then I studied with Christopher Parkening, the great young classical guitarist that studied with Segovia, and then I loved the flamenco guitar set. You know, I was just a guitar junkie, and so I had this dream for a long time, what if I could put all those styles together on one record? And so that's what Six String Theory was based on, because it was a theory that I could make a musical album based on all these styles and all these guitars. So I invited everybody, Steve Lukather and from Toto, joined me, and we co-produced some of the record. Then, you know, we were able to invite some of the heavy-duty rock guitarists, and then John Scofield, the great jazz guitarist, joined us, and George Benson joined us, and the list goes on and on and on and on. It was really a fun record to do, and Concord Records put the record out for us, and the producers over there said, Lee, you're the only guy that we know could put a record like this together, because I actually love and have a passion about all these styles. So it was really a fun project to do. And it's not for sure yet, but we're talking about Six String Theory 25, where we'll do another project in 2025, and my dream is to have 25 guitarists on that record.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh, I will be, okay, I may be calling you to say what's the progress on this one. I need to know, oh, that's incredible. And yeah. You mentioned all these different styles, and we're talking about anywhere from Slash, from Guns N' Roses to, well, I mean, just Lukather himself, three different tracks, he's playing three drastically different styles, including one tune that has three, you, Lukather, Andy McKee, all at the same time, just incredible. Thank you. since you mentioned Jeff Beck, and Lukather keeps on coming back into the conversation, when a person goes YouTubing, there is a performance from a gig at the Coconut Grove in 1990, and it has you and Luke performing 'Cause We Ended As Lovers, and which I so often have to, I admit that I often don't think of it as a Stevie Wonder tune, but as a Jeff Beck thing.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, was this your gig and Lukather came up to join you on it, or what was this?
Yes. There's a wonderful company in Japan that would put these projects together with me, and so Live at the Coconut Grove, it was one live at the Record Plant, which was the recording studio in Hollywood that we also did, but the Coconut Grove one was one where I invited several key guests, and so Luke was one of those guests, and I wanted to do kind of a big, outstanding rock ballad that he was so great at playing and still is to this day. So we ended up with that tune, and it was definitely a tribute to the Jeff Beck influence, because Jeff was just so amazing from the time he hit to the time he stopped playing. Just an amazing innovator, you know, as important as B.B. King, as important as Segovia, as important as Wes Montgomery, as really important as Hendrix, you know, and he was the crossover connector guitar player that really fused the first time rock and jazz. It was really Jeff Beck, and he was working with people like Jan Hammer, who went on to just do amazing stuff on keyboards with his own group and others, and so it was terrific to be able to collaborate with Steve on this track.
Had you two worked out any arrangements at all for two guitars for this, or was this all intuitive interplay?
It was pretty much intuitive interplay. I think we were able to rehearse and kind of go over the basic structure. But then the performance, you know, we decided, okay, you take letter A, I'll take letter B, that kind of thing, right?
Okay.
But other than those sort of overall bigger structure decisions, the rest of it was based on how we bounced off of each other and how we played. And I just always have loved Luke's playing and his attitude, and he's just such a giving musician and guitar player. It's never competitive in the wrong way, but it's competitive in the healthy way that everybody wants to play their best because they know the other guy's playing great.
Without a doubt. And I really encourage people to try to find this video and watch it, because not only is there just incredible, incredible guitar playing from both of you, but the look on Steve's face at times, he's smiling, he's so happy to be up there with you and observing and just being a part of it. And so it's a treat to see. I mentioned closing with that, but there is a glaring thing on my notes. If you could please just talk briefly about the wall. I mean, you even playing on it. So, I mean, that had to have blown you away. How did you get the call? Surely to God, Gilmour didn't say, I can't do the solo. I need Lee Ritenour. How did this happen?
Well, the producer on that record, we had worked together on other stuff, and they were such a great band, and they were obviously doing 95% of their own work most of the time.
Yeah.
But occasionally they would, you know, especially for a project like The Wall that they worked on for years, they didn't mind taking the time on eight bars that were over in 30 seconds, but they would spend 2 weeks on those eight bars, making sure they had the right sound, the right flavor, the right context. And so the producer had called me before to work on some stuff, and they needed to put some acoustic guitars to together on one of their tracks. And so he called me and said, Lee, would you come down and join us? I said, of course. I go down there, and they're working on another brick in the wall. And he says to me, we just can't figure out the last few bars of the solo. The whole solo on Another Brick in the Wall is a very short solo anyway, but they were concentrating on how to get out of the solo. And they said, we promise we won't use any of your playing on this particular solo. It will be us, but said, can you just try some ideas just to give us some other thoughts? And I said, yeah, sure. So I tried to match his sound a little bit. They punched me in, and I played a number of things for about 20 minutes. And they said, okay, let's move on to the acoustic guitar stuff. And, and then we did that. And so a year later, when the record came out, I was curious what happened with the end of that solo.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it was not me on the solo, it was him. But I felt like maybe a couple licks I had influenced them a little bit. So that was fun, the fact that maybe I had a bit of influence on the way they finished that solo on that record. And then we played some acoustic guitars on one or two other tunes. And it was nice to be part of this, such an incredible album.
And this is where Gilmore got stuck. He'd gone all the way up the fretboard and couldn't go any higher. Ridenour just brought it back down. Lee, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time. Just for context, I have to let you know that when I was entering into the world of public radio as a young man, a student at a public radio station in Kentucky, and this is my introduction to jazz fusion in the latest part of the 80s into the earliest part of the 90s, I was also doing mainstream straight-ahead shows and also big band shows all at the same time. And the thing is, you were the common element, Lee. For the straight-ahead shows, we had things like Westbound, your release with that. And then, of course, so much of the GRP catalog for the contemporary jazz, funk, and fusion type stuff. And then with my big band stuff, the GRP All-Star Big Bands, which some of my arrangements for some tunes come from this wonderful, I just presume it was a Dave Grusin project, but really just incredible stuff. And I thank you a lot for my history in jazz, in learning. I came at it from fusion and then straight ahead and then filled in the historical gaps. So I did it backwards.
Nice. Whichever way works for us, right? And so many of us today have such a love for a wide spectrum of music, and that category of jazz is interesting because it really can cover so much ground, you know, and sometimes it goes off in so many directions, and those of us who love good music in general get in jazz is sometimes at the center of it, and not necessarily jazz, but all the elements that it springs from.
Absolutely. Oh, that's a great way of stating that. I couldn't have written a better close. Lee, thank you again for your time. This is beautiful. Thank you.
All right. Eric, really nice talking to you.
Lee Ridenour. I have to say that was one of those bucket list type of interviews for me. Most of our time together about a year ago was talking about his new at the time release with Dave Grusin, Brazil, spelled with an S, by the way. I did air the thing about Pink Floyd along with the conversation about Brazil a year ago, but these others I've been hanging on to. This being a very guitar-centric edition of KVC Arts, I thought it very fitting. More in the world of jazz, classical, and ensemble guitar opportunities in the near future as KVC Arts continues. I'm David Fleming. Many past shows, including the one with Lee Ridenour and me talking about Brazil, can be found through iTunes, Spotify, NPR One, or many other podcast sites. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. You can support KVCR any time of the year, day or night. Go to kvcrnews.org/support, and once there, you can make a one-time gift, or you can choose to set up a sustaining membership of $5 or $10 a month, maybe even $15 or $20. Pick an amount that you know that you do have available, And don't think $5 or $10 is a small amount. It does add up going through the year. Again, give at kvcrnews.org/support. On this edition of the program, it's 99% guitar-related, going now to Peter Curtis, RCC faculty in the music department. Last week, we were talking about the 2026 RCC Guitar Festival and competition, and now several really cool concerts coming up in the very near future. Peter?
I'm really excited. This is a really wonderful year in terms of the guests that we've been able to get for our guitar program. And I wanted to give a shout out to ASRCC, which is the Student Senate of RCC, without whose funding we couldn't bring in this caliber and this number of great guest artists. So thank you to them for their ongoing support. We've got Triada. Triada is three brothers from Bulgaria, one of whom teaches at RCC. That's Vasil Chekortsakov. And he and his two brothers have a classical guitar trio, and they're wonderful. They've played at RCC before, and they'll be playing Thursday, April 30th. And that concert, again, will be $8 for students, $10 for the general public. We've got the RCC Guitar Faculty Concert, where various faculty members, Jody Fisher, me, Vasil, and Cody Noriega are all going to play. That's on Tuesday, May 5th. On Tuesday, May 19th, we are bringing in the wonderful jazz guitar virtuosa, Mimi Fox. It was funny, the poster that they had at RCC called her a jazz guitar virtuoso, and I took a picture of it and sent it to her and said, you know, I would have called you a virtuosa, but nobody asked me. And she texted me back, I don't really care as long as you pay me the same thing that you pay the guys.
Perfect. So, excellent, Mimi. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So yeah, Mimi Fox is wonderful. We've had her at RCC twice before. Mm. She's a great guitarist. You know, it's always a pleasure when we can bring in a wonderful female guitarist. I think there's a lot of great female classical guitarists. There aren't as many great female jazz guitarists. There are some great female rock guitarists. Obviously, a lot of singer-songwriters who play guitar who are women. But I try to bring in people that my students can see themselves in, and I have female students, and I want them to see female role models as well. So it's wonderful. We had Jocelyn Gould a few years ago, who's a great Canadian jazz guitarist. And yeah, Mimi Fox has played a couple of times, and it'll be wonderful to have her back. And she always invites me up to do a duet with her, so I'm sure I'll be playing a duet with her. And that'll be on Tuesday, May 19th, again at the Coyle School, 7 to 9. And then we have our student end of the semester recital, which is Monday, June 1st. And the guitar ensemble will play, as well as student guitarists.
What are the different types of guitar groupings that RCC has to offer? I mean, seeing guitar ensemble, guitar studio concert, what are the different types of things that we have?
Well, thank you for asking. Yeah. So the sort of starter level class that we have at RCC is class guitar, which anyone can take. You don't need any background in guitar to take that class. Mm. That said, a lot of people who do take the class have a lot of background with guitar, but don't necessarily know how to read music. I find there's usually two basic kinds of groups of folks who take that class. People who've never played before, or people who have played, but you know, they learned by ear, or they learned off YouTube, or they learned off records, or they learned from their friends, and they want to learn how to read music and more of the technical elements behind it. So that's class guitar, and that's a semester-long class. And then after that, we have the guitar ensemble, which I direct, which meets Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 10 to 11:30. For working people and for high school students, we have a lab guitar ensemble, which my colleague Vasil Chekortsakov directs, which meets on Saturdays at 5 p.m. So community members can participate. And people who are in my guitar ensemble can take lessons through the college. The way it works at RCC is that if one is in one of the, and we also, in addition to the guitar ensemble and class guitar, we have applied music lessons at RCC on a variety of instruments and voice, including guitar. So more advanced students can study guitar through the applied music program. By the way, a bunch of the RCC's Guitar Ensemble's recordings are up on our website, rccguitar.com.
Okay.
We have not yet put up our recording of the Paradiso that we did last year, Riverside. Okay. That's a project for this year. It'll be up there. But we've got a bunch of music on the website of recordings of the Guitar Ensemble, and I expect to put Ben's piece up there as well.
Wonderful. Oh, another sidebar, I suppose. Charles Kelly, have you encountered him?
Yes, and I've never played with him, but okay. Our paths have crossed at some point. I can't remember exactly how.
Well, beyond being a jazz keyboardist, he was teaching in continuing education or something like that here at Valley College, but now he's in Riverside, and I think maybe at RCC specifically. But again, he wouldn't be in the music area.
Oh, I see.
Even though he's quite a musician and used to perform with Stevie.
So. Oh, wow.
He'll be talking, yeah, Steve would say such and such, but he won't say, yes, Stevie Wonder did that. He'll just say, yeah, well, Steve was, you know, he was, or whatever it was, you know,
wow.
Just casual references.
Imagine referring to Stevie Wonder as Steve.
Yeah.
I think, you know, were I ever to speak to or of Stevie Wonder, I would probably say, sir.
Yeah, Sir Duke.
Exactly. Sir Stevie.
Wow. I've never asked you about this on the air. I don't know why. This thing that I love going to so much, and I'm not there often enough. Let's talk about the connection between RCC music students, and quite often you, and Back to the Grind in Riverside.
Oh, yeah. Well, at Back to the Grind in Riverside, there's live jazz every Friday. We have RCC student groups playing there every Friday. And then the fourth Friday of every month, we have a jazz jam session that I lead. I bring in a trio, typically, and we'll play the first set from 6:30 to 7:30, and then we open it up and have a jam session. Students come, local musicians come, and it's always a really fun time.
That's fantastic. I've seen, met quite a few people in there. Shant
Kaljian. That guy really gets under my skin, because it should be illegal to be that good at playing jazz trumpet and be an emergency room doctor.
I hope people show up. Fourth Friday, really every Friday, but particularly on the fourth Friday, they'll see Shant, and he'll be playing just masterful trumpet. He'll be wearing hospital scrubs because he is an emergency room surgeon. And quite often, he will be playing up until 20 minutes before he has to be just a few blocks away at the hospital.
It's crazy.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and he's such a lovely guy.
Oh, truly wonderful.
But yeah, it's remarkable what a great musician he is, considering he's professionally a doctor. Yeah. I mean, it's remarkable how accomplished he is in various fields.
Truly. Then we've got Baba Elefante in there quite a lot of the time. I mean, he's not your only bass player, so I don't mean to drop some names. And
Baba plays frequently. Others, Steve Dixon.
I saw Steve last time I was there, yeah.
Yeah, Steve and Baba have done it a lot. Different people come in, sort of depending on who's available. And,
sure.
You know.
You ever gotten Skipper to come in?
I have not, but that is an intriguing idea.
I want to see that lion's head on that bass in that space.
You know what? Just this moment, I just had a funny memory of Skipper where he reprimanded me once for wearing jeans on a gig.
You told me about this when I was about to interview him, I think. Talk about this, please.
Yeah. Well, we were playing a gig in Palm Springs, and I was wearing jeans, and he talked to me after the gig and said that jazz is respectable music and I need to present the music in a respectful way or something like that. Those weren't his exact words, but when Henry Franklin talks, I listen. So that was the last time I wore jeans on a gig.
For the record, I've got photos of him playing at a professional gig wearing an old t-shirt, so I'm not sure. Okay, but still.
Maybe that was in a different era, you know?
Okay, yeah, true, yeah.
Yeah, the stories that guy must have. I mean, he told me about playing at Woodstock.
With Hugh Masekela,
yeah.
And he told me, I said, you know, just tell me about that. And he, I guess, like a lot of people at Woodstock, really didn't remember a lot of it. He just said, yeah, it was a party, man.
That's exactly what he said to me. I think he said, nothing but a party.
Yeah, yeah. What did you do after the gig? It was a party.
Yeah.
What about after that? We partied. That was cool. That was fun. And that's Skipper, Henry Franklin. I actually found out it's his son who's really named Skipper, and that sort of accidentally went upward.
Oh, is that
Yeah, I'll have to go back to the interview and find that out.
But, that's interesting.
People know him around here as Skipper or the Skipper, Henry Franklin.
Now, it's funny that you know that, because I once asked him on a gig, why do they call you Skipper? And his response was, maybe I'll tell you one day.
I only had to ask him once.
Yeah, you're more privileged than I.
Well, I've got the mic and the NPR thing. Okay, well, whatever. Peter, gosh, thank you so much for coming. This is a pleasure every single time. It's fun every single time. Your music or other people's music, it's always surrounded by a lot of wonderful, lovely items to be discussed and heard and experienced.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for everything that you do for the arts and entertainment here in the IE. I think your show is really sui generis in this area. Mm. I don't think there's anything else like it in this area, and I'm really grateful that we have it and we have you doing it. So thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Peter Curtis with Riverside City College Department of Music, with several events coming directly through Riverside City College, with more at rccguitar.com. Also, the jazz jam at Back to the Grind, and even when it's not the fourth Friday when Peter's leading it, I believe the other Friday jazz sessions are mainly comprised of RCC students. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Peter Curtis and Lee Rittenour. And here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Tony Lopez, Adam Rainey Ruiz, and Shireen Awad. Many past shows can be found through Spotify, iTunes, NPR One, or many other podcast sites. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts, composed and performed by one of Peter's former students, Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support. And with that in mind, please show your support for this public radio station with a contribution any time of the year. Go to kvcrnews.org/support. There you can choose to make a one-time gift, or you can choose to set up a sustaining membership of an automatic $5, $10, or perhaps even $15 or $20 contribution each month. Just pick a modest amount you know you do indeed have available every month. Either type of contribution takes approaching 3 minutes of your time. It's an easy process and starts at kvcrnews.org/support. And again, thank you so much.